Three crosses. Days of waiting. In the weeks that have led up to this Sunday here at Soul Union Church, we've looked at a different aspect each week. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the suffering servant that we see in Isaiah 53. The cross of Jesus with the suffering servant, the cross of Jesus as the substitute, the one who took our place for our sin, the cross of Jesus as the Savior. And then last week we looked at the cross as a place of forgiveness. It's a place where we're invited to come and lay our burdens down and to confess those sins that actually took him to the cross. The cross is a place of promise, where Jesus in his word says that we can have life and life more abundantly and life with him. And even as we see one of the thieves on the side of him at the crucifixion, he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." There's a cross of promise for each of us. That when we come and we confess that Jesus is Lord, and we confess those sins, the Bible says that he is faithful, he is just, and he's able to forgive us of all of that unrighteousness. And the cross is a place of exaltation. And we see in these couple of weeks that have preceded the messages that have come before this week, we see the many paradoxes that exist. That the king would come and die for his subjects. That the one who had no sin would come and lay his life down for those who had sin. And he would sacrifice it all to be the substitute, the sacrificial lamb that laid his life down voluntarily for you and for me. And this week we come and we see these three crosses represented again. The three crosses of Christ suffering, waiting, and hope. Many of us, in fact all of us, can probably experience that in-between time, or as I refer to it, the life between the notches. Perhaps some of you have tried to lose a little weight in that belt because it was getting a little tight. You try to lose weight, but you can't quite get it to that other notch, your life between the notches. It's that in-between time. It's that moment between despair and hope. And as we see what the disciples did on that fateful Friday, when they saw Jesus crucified, their whole world had been turned upside down, but Jesus turned their world upside down, but now they were in despair. And the Bible shows us they were hiding. It was a time of despair. It was a time of confusion. They didn't know what to think and they didn't know where to go. And it was that life between the notches. We have the luxury of looking at the end of the story. They didn't. They lived in it that day. They could remember the promises and the teachings of the Christ. But there they were. Now Jesus was dead and gone. He was put in the tomb. And it was that time of waiting. Maybe you're waiting today. Maybe you're in between and you're experiencing life between the notches. There's despair, but you want to think that there's hope. There's confusion, but you want to know that there's a way. In Jesus Christ, we can know that there's truth and we can know that there's a way. And he proves that because the third day comes. And when the morning came, the tomb was empty, and Jesus had defeated the powers of darkness and death and the grave and all of sin for all of humankind, for all of eternity, if we would only believe. And we would come to that cross of promise, the cross of power, the cross of life that can only come through the risen Savior. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily weighs us down or entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And this is verse 2, "fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Jesus endured the cross. What was the joy that was set before him? Have you ever stopped to think about that? How can you have, again, pain and suffering and crucifixion to death, and yet a joy being placed before the Son of God? The joy that was set before him, the joy that lay beyond the cross. The joy that went beyond the waiting, it went beyond the suffering, it went beyond the crucifixion, the death on that tree. It went beyond all the way to this very day for you and for me. The opportunity that Jesus affords us to have relationship with Him, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit. It once again is offered to us because of the cross. There's joy in Christ and that He willingly, voluntarily laid His life down for what was beyond the cross. The church, the believers in Him, were the joy set before Jesus. We were part of that joy that He saw beyond the pain of the cross, the shame of the cross, the suffering of the cross. You and I are the joy set before Him. He endured the cross for us. How deep His affection must be that He would die on Calvary's tree. He had no deficiency. It's not that He needed more joy. He was full of joy. The joy, though, came from knowing that now it was for us. It was not necessary for Him to endure the cross for more joy. It was necessary for us. A funny thing happens when we come to realize that, when we realize that God Himself rejoices in us, in having relationship with us. It's a radical idea that Jesus delights in you. He takes joy in you. It's amazing that Jesus considers us of great joy, but we end up finding joy in Him. In Him we receive the gift of life. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me, it says in Galatians. Have you received the gift that Christ purchased through His death and resurrection? Have you accepted that gift that He gives to you? Have you received His joy? Have you received the promise of eternal life? He makes that available to each of us today. You can know this if you commit your life to Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads?